Good morning. We are on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis, about three lines from the bottom here. We're just wrapping up a sugya here. We had a very interesting machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What was this Torah written on? What did it look like? When they crossed over the Yarden, we had tremendous miracles. The Bnei Yisrael crossed over the Yarden. The Kohanim stayed behind. They then floated over with the Aron. We had a great daf yesterday, the last couple of days, kind of explaining what took place in this momentous occasion as Bnei Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael for the first time there as a nation. And we had this machlokas as to what this Torah was written on. 70 languages, we said. We'll have more about that on today's daf. So the Torah was written in 70 languages, whether it was rocks or whether it was sid, plaster. Let's see. Kaman Azal HaDetanya. So we had Rabbi Yehuda, who said a number of lines ago, about a little bit more than halfway through the page, that it was written on avanim and then covered over in sid, and whereas we had Rabbi Shimon who says that it was just written on sid, it was just written on plaster, it wasn't written on stone. So now we have a brice, and we're going to ask who this brice holds like, whether it holds like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. My time kaman azal hadatanya v'shavisa shivyo. We have a pasuk which describes that when we go to war, we'll capture the captives. Right? V'shavisa shivyo. Doesn't that sound superfluous? L'rabo. So what does the brice there come to include? K'nanim shebechutz laretz she'im chozner b'tshuva mikavlanosan. That if the k'nanim of chutz laretz are chozer b'tshuva, then we will accept them. So come on. Who is this like in terms of the way we wrote the Torah? Who is this like in the way we wrote the Torah? Come on. Rabbi Shimon. It must be like Rabbi Shimon who says that we wrote them in Sid. And why do we write them in Sid? To show that the k'nanim have a chance to come back in Torah, and therefore we're going to allow them. We're going to allow them to come back. That's why it was written in Sid and not on stone. Bore kama nisim nasu bo soyom. Beautiful. Next piece here, let's get started here. More miracles. All kinds of miracles that happened on that day when the Bnei Yisrael entered over the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael. This is a big day with Yoshua as their leader, their fearless leader coming into Eretz Yisrael. So number one, Avru Yisrael say Yarden. They passed through the Yarden, and what do we say about the waters? The water split. Unbelievable, by the way. My wife's a teacher. She's a teacher for Sefer Yoshua and Parsha at Machon Mayan. First of all, she's teaching right now Sefer Yoshua Perikei, which is like, we're basically like talking about these Gemaras and what she's teaching from the Radak and other Mepharshim kind of stuff. And it's like, today she's going to Machon Mayan and she's teaching literally this stuff and Parshas Vayesha, which we have coming up on Amud Beis. It is so cool we're teaching the same things today. Anyways, so Bar Kama, that's a Daf Yomi moment. That's a Daf Yomi day.
One question. How did the Kohanim know to step into the port? Was there a sound from Hashem? Or how did they know that? I mean, with Moshe, when he split the Red Sea, he said Hashem told him, oh, you stay up now.
Sure. Nachshon went in, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's probably a similar kind of question. I think we're talking about Nachshon tomorrow.
But also Moshe Rabbeinu told Yeshua that they're going to split the sea.
Yeah, but how did he know how to do that?
I'm guessing if Moshe Rabbeinu told him you're going to go and split the sea, he probably also told him, send the Kohanim.
Moshe probably said send the Kohanim first. Once the Kohanim went in, the sea split. There was probably an element of, okay, we don't know exactly what, when, and how it's going to split, but we know that we're going to jump in first, like we're going to start walking, and once it's at their ankles, they decide to split right away, whereas by Nachshon it took a little bit longer. Very good question. You didn't come back to me yesterday with the answer about the other question. Over Yisrael, say Yarden, Uvolar, Grizmal, Revol, Yoser, Yeser, Mishishim, Mil. More than 60 mil. It was a really long trip to get to Grizmal and Revol. Nevertheless, with these 3 million approximate number of people, they were able to get 60 mil. And as we said, a mil is how much? About a kilometer. There are various opinions that it's about a kilometer. So about 60 kilometers with this kind of people, that's a lot of place, space to travel. Ein kol birya yechol amud bifnam. No one was able to stand up to them. Yechol amud bifnam miyan nitras. Whoever was able to stand up in front of them, they lost control of their bodily functions. We're about 5 lines down from Lamed Vav, Amud Aleph. Shenemarim. Ein masaya shalach lefanecha. V'amosiyas kol amud shir tevo bahem. V'chuluin. Like no nation is going to stand up to you. V'omer tipol aleim imasa fachad. Right, from our Oz Yashir, that Eman Fachar will fall upon all those who we see. Adi Avarim Cha Hashem. Another pasuk here from the Oz Yashir also, and one will be referring to be a Rishona, one's going to be referring to be a Shnia. Let's take a look. Adi Avarim Cha Hashem. Zubir Rishona, with Yoshua going into Eretz Yisrael. Adi Avarm Zukunisa, Zubir Shnia. This is referring to the second Bia into Eretz Yisrael, which was when Koresh allowed the Jews to go back, and Ezra took the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. This is referring to the two types. Says the Gemara, the fact that it's juxtaposed in the Torah, the fact that in the same pasuk there, in the Az Yashar that we say every day, which hopefully we say now every day with Simcha Rabbah, so it can be Mochon Al Kol Ovanosav, just a little Chazara. Emor, what do we say there? Me'ata Ru'ina Yisrael Asoslan Neis Bevir Shnia Kibir Rishona. Really, we were supposed to have the type of miracles in the Bia Shnia with Ezra going back for the second Beis Mikdash as we had for the by the Bia Rishona. And we just said the amount of miracles that took place by the Bia Rishona. Ela Shegaram Hachet. But rather, Chet caused it. Rashi says, Lasos Lahem Neis. First skinny line up there on top. Lalos Bezroa. To go up in strength. Lohay Mishtabdam Lamalchus. And not have other nations overseeing us. And not a good sign there. What happened? What was the Chet? So, a couple opinions are brought down. But first of all, intermarriage. Some person bring down the Chet. The Chatoim they were around by the first base of Mikdash, which is why the first base of Mikdash was destroyed. And I've also heard that that it wasn't that all Bnei Israel came up. So whereas in the times of Yeshua, you had a whole nation coming in together as one. As in the times of Ezra, it was not that way. And perhaps that lessened the wow effect in terms of the miracles that Hashem would do for us. Maven Yav. Right? Let's all bring Mashiach in the ways that we can. The Achar Kach, on the day that they crossed the Yarden, they built the Mizbeach. By the way, I'm trying to get to Amud Beis quick, because Amud Beis is just massive. So this is a day we're hoping to spend more time there. V'sadu v'sid, and they plastered it with sid. V'chosvu aleim es kol divrei Torah, v'shivim lashon, and they wrote the entire Torah in 70 languages. Shenemar, be'er heitev. Right? Be'er heitev, explained well. And as we said, it's a timeless message that the Torah is going to be relevant in any language. And right, we also said it's for the non-Jews, but also the fact that we know that wherever we go in Golus, that the Torah is relevant and timeless for us too. The Gur Aryeh, the Maral, explains in the Torah, what's a nice way to remember Be'er heitev is referring to 70 languages? Take the word heitev. Hey is 5. Hey Yud is 15. Hey Yud Tes is 24. Hey Yud Tes Vav is 26. Add those together. 26 plus 24 is 50, plus 15 is 65, plus 5 is 70. Be'er heitev, 70 languages. Baruch Hashem. Velo velo seshlam, and then they brought their karbonos. Ochlu v'shosu v'simchu. And then they just rejoiced. They finally got to where they've been traveling towards for 40 years. Baruch hu v'klolo. And as the Gemara is going to explain, they had the brachos and the klolos. The kiplus avanim. Then they dismantled the stones. Ubo v'lona b'gilgal. And they rested that night in Gilgal. Shnemar va. As it says in Yoshua Perek Dalet, v'avartem osam imachem, that they're going to cross. V'hinachtem osam b'malon. And they stayed in a huge hotel. Yochol b'chol molon amolon. I would have thought that maybe they dismantled the stones, they put up the stones in every one of the places where they might have taken a little break along the way, in every hotel, so to say. Tamlom asher tolinu bo halayla. No, that's where they're going to come to at night. That's the resting place. Uksiv es shtayim esrei havana mo'elet lachu v'chulu. And that's where they're going to take the 12 stones. That's what's going to happen. There's a beautiful note in the art scroll, in the Ben Yoyada. I don't remember it offhand, but if anybody wants to take a look at a beautiful thought here from the Ben Yoyada in the art scroll, feel free to take a look. It's beautiful. Let's move on, though. Tana. Tzira lo avra imaham. There was a very interesting flying insect called Tzira that had some sort of dangerous venom. Not sure exactly what it is, but it says a hornet? Interesting. It sounds like it did much more than a hornet, as you'll see, or some sort of miraculous hornet. But it was a flying insect that helped the Bnei Yisrael fight their battles in the Midbar. And now we're saying, lo over imahem, it didn't cross the Yarden with Yehoshua. The lo, wait, did it not cross the Yarden with Yehoshua? Oksiv, v'shilachti es atzira lefanecha. We have a pasuk there that it says that Hashem sent the tzira in front of us. And therefore, if it was helping fight our battles with the Kananim, then how did it not come with us over the Yarden? Was the tzira with us or was it not with us? I'm Rishon Ben Lakish. I'm Rish Lakish. Al Svas Yarden Amda. Really, it stood on the opposite side of the Yarden. So after the Kohanim floated or flew over with the Aron, it still stayed on the other side in Avra Yarden. The Zerko Bahen Maran. And this is why I wasn't sure if it was a regular hornet. It somehow shot its venom over the Yardane to whoever was trying to mess with us. Which, as we saw, wasn't the first day, because people weren't messing with us the first day. Hashem took care of them. So therefore, anyways, that's that insect. The simto einein milmala, and for those people, it blinded them above in their eyes. The sirston milmata, and it made them sterile below. Shenamar v'anochi hishmarati esamar mipneihem, and wipe out the Amor from before you. Sherka gova arazim gavu v'chasonu, ka'alonu v'ashmid pir yomi ma'al, v'shar shav mitochas, which is a reference to becoming sterile below. Rav Papa Amar, no. What do you mean that the Tzira did not go before them, or the Pasuk in Shemo, Sefer Shmos, which says that it did go with them? How do we reconcile the two? Chado demo, Amar, shtei tziros have. There are really two Tziras. Chado de Moshe, v'chado de Yoshua. One of Moshe and one of Yoshua. It wasn't just one that had to fight all the battles. De Moshe lo afar. The Tzira of Moshe did not go over, but Yoshua Avar, the Tzira of Yoshua, that was able to fly over, that was able to go with him. So it's two separate Tziras. First of all, just back to the Canaan becoming sterile. Why become sterile? Who was Canaan? His lineage?
Ham's son.
And what did Ham do?
Ham.
And what else?
His father.
Sorry?
He's sterilized.
He castrated. Correct. He made him sterile. And therefore, now this is a punishment of, says the Chafetz Chaim, this is the punishment for what Chum did going through the generations. And Chaim Kanievsky has a powerful line that Hashem can travel punishment through the generations. Of course, the person perhaps has to be worthy of having the punishment, but to recognize that that Hashem does not forget anything that we do. Why not send the Tzira to Eretz Yisrael? Why not, or at least in both opinions, why not send Moshe's Tzira to Eretz Yisrael? Why have a new one, or why have it stay on the neighbor yard and kind of shoot over? So, two answers that I heard. A few answers that I heard. Number one, Hashem just didn't want this insect there. It sounded like it was a little bit worse than a hornet, so kind of, according to the first opinion, just leave it over on Eretz Yarden, but allow it to fight the battles. But Eretz Yisrael is not the place for a flying, venomous, shooting insect.
What about Reuben and God? They lived there.
That's a good point. So they lived there, they had nice pastures, and they had a tzira around. Right? Or the one that was under Moshe wasn't allowed there, and the Iyun Yaakov explains that according to the opinion that says that it wasn't the same one, then it was because Hashem wanted Yehoshua to establish his own miracles, so to say. And he wasn't just relying on the same flying insect that Moshe used to fight the battles, but he had his own one, says Iyun Yaakov. This gave, Hashem was giving Yehoshua the ability to establish himself as a real leader of Klal Yisrael, not just, oh yeah, he's using Moshe's tricks in the hat, but he's got his own ones up his sleeve. Okay, first wide line. Shisha shvatim olu l'rosh har grizim chulu. Mai v'hachetzio. There in the pasuk, it describes v'hachetzio are on the other mountain. So what do you mean v'hachetzio? What do you mean v'chetzio? We learn out from extra, from superfluous words. We also learn out from letters that seem to be redundant. So v'hachetzio seems to be a little bit extra here for the ones that are on Har Eval. Amr of Kahana, Kedera Shechalukin Kan, just like the division of the Shvatim were taking place on Har Grizim and Har Eval, 6 and 6, Kach Chalukin Be'avne Ephod. So too on the Avne Ephod, on the shoulder plate of the Kohen Gadol, there were Avne Shoham. One of them were on each shoulder, and on each of these Avne Shoham were six names of Shvatim. And says Rav Kahana that the division that we had on Har Grizim and Har Eval, that's the division of Shvatim's names on the shoulder plates of the Kohen Gadol. Mesve, Shtevanim Tovos, Hoyulol Kohen Gadol Aksefav. Wait, let's ask a question on this. We have a brayso that says that there were two of these stones that were on the shoulder of the Kohen Gadol. Achas mikan v'achas mikan. V'shemos shneim asar shvatim kos valem. And the 12 Shivtei Koz names were on them. Sheshas al Evan Zu, V'sheshas al Evan Zu. 6 and 6. Shneimar, Shisha mishmosam al Evan achas v'chulu. We have 6 and 6 going on there on the shoulders. Shnia ketoldosam. This opinion here in the Tanakhama, we're going to have several opinions as to how these names were organized on the shoulder plate. So according to the Tanakhama, Shnia ketoldosam, the second stone was in order of the way the children were born. The lo rishona ketoldosam. Let's take a look. But not the first one. Mipnei she Yehuda mukdam, because really Yehuda was first. Okay? So, hold on a second. So first, on the mountain itself, the division on the mountain, on Har, says the Torah, Grizim was Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. On Har Eva was Reuven, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Now we're trying to understand if this was the same, if these names, the way they were organized in the Torah, on Har Grizim and Har Eval, reconciles with the Brisa, which has a number of opinions as to what the names of the Shvatim were on the shoulder plates. So we're going to have two or three opinions or so and say that they all don't agree with what it says in the Torah about Har Grizim and Har Eval. So here we take a look. The Tanakhama in the opinion as to what the names were on the shoulder plates were as follows. Here we go. Shnei Katoldosam, that the second one was written in order of the way that they were born. Lo Rishona Katoldosam, Ipnei She Yehuda Mukdam. So according to this opinion here, on the first shoulder plate, we had Yehuda first, as the Gemara just said. Yehuda, and then Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Dan, and Naphtali. The second one was Gad, Asher, Yisachar, Zevulun, Yosef, and Binyamin. So again, the way that we go out of order here is that Yehuda's first on the first shoulder plate. The Chamishim Osios Hayu, and interesting, there were 50 letters of these Shvatim names. I'm sure there's a lot behind this. Esther v'Chamish Alevenzu, v'Esther v'Chamish Alevenzu. And according to this opinion, you have 25 letters on each of the shoulder plates. Wow. Beautiful. Feel free to do a quick count. Rabbi Chanina Bengam, I did a quick count yesterday. Look, Yehuda, 5. Reuven, 5. Shimon, again, 5. Levi, 3. Dan, 2. Naphtali, 5. 25. Beautiful. Baruch Hashem. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer. Lo kedera shakludim bechumash hapakudin. It's not that the way that they were written in Parshas Bamidbar when Moshe Rabbeinu counts the Klal Yisrael there, but rather chalukin ba'avnei ephod. They were split like the Avnei Ephod. Elo kederach shechalukin b'chomesh sheni. The way that the Shvatim are counted is different in different parts of the Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu counts them in Bamidbar, it's different than the way they counted them in Shemos. So how are they counted in Shemos? Ketzad, b'nei Leah kesidran. At the b'nei Leah, they went in order of birth. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun argues with the first opinion that Yehuda was first. Again, this week's Parsha, you know, what was Yehuda's involvement? What was his role? Reuven and who was the real Bechor, Yehuda, who might have been the leader. Rachel Echad Mikan Vechad Mikan. Rachel then had Binyamin on top, and then Yosef on the bottom, Ubnei Shvachos B'emtza. And then the Bnei Shvachos were in the middle, as Rashi explains, on the last wide line there on top. B'sheni Binyamin Don V'Naphtali, God V'Asher V'Yosef. So sandwiched by Binyamin first and Yosef at the end, we have the Bnei Shvachos in there. Very interesting. So why does it say ketoldosam in the Torah that they're written in order? Because this is the way that their fathers called them, lo kashem shekar len Moshe, but not in the way that Moshe called them. Reuven v'lo Reuveni, Shimon v'lo Shimuni, Don v'lo Hadoni, God v'lo Hagadi. But again, what do we see now after all this? Tuvta Rav Kahana Tuvta. That this is a total refutation of Rav Kahana. These various opinions were more according to the way they're written in the Torah, nothing to do with the way they were standing on Har Grizim and Har Eval. So how can Rav Kahana come and tell us that the Shemos on the Ephod of the coin, Gadol, are in order of the way that they're written on Har Grizim and Har Eval, whereas these other opinions, it's exactly describing where those Shvatim are on the Ephod, go against him. So you're right, Tiyufta, this is indeed a Tiyufta of Rav Kahana.
Maybe it's not a question of how they actually appear on the stones, but when they were written, what order they were written in. In other words, you could have left a space and then,
Interesting point. Yeah. A good question. So again, back to our original question, though. What's hachetzio? What's these extra hay in terms of hachetzio? Tana, chetzio shel mul hargrizim, meruba mechetzio shel harevo. This is to say that the half on hargrizim was more than the half on harevo. Why? Mipnei she Levi lamato. Because Levi was lamato. So again, what was the split on hargrizim and harevo? Har Grizim had Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. So Levi was on Har Grizim. So because Levi wasn't there, there's more on Har Grizim than on Har Eval. What?
That sense.
Thank you. Does that make sense to anybody else? There's 6 and 6. So because Har Grizim really has 5, because Levi's not there, they have more. We should be jumping out of our seats right now. She should be, like, yelling. Toast. Okay. Maybe not right now. Maybe, perhaps too early. Sorry? Oh, good, good, good. Very good, very good. You're on the ball here. So, says the Gemara.
That's what we already said in the past.
The Gemara jumps out of his seat. Adarabba! What? Mipnesha Levi Lemata Batsri Lahu? Because Levi's on the bottom and there's only five Shvatim on our Grizim. That's why there's more? How does that make any sense to us? Hachi Kamarnas. This is what it means here. Af Al Pi. And by the way, Har Grizim is where the brachos were. So one of the first brings down nice symbolism behind Har Grizim being more brachos. There's more people. Now let's just find out how there were more people on Har Grizim if Levi's not there. Levi's on the bottom yelling out kind of the brachos and the klolos. Hachyamar afal pi shelevi lamata b'nei Yosef imohem. That the b'nei Yosef were there. Thank you, David, on Har Grizim. And they had a population growth. Right? And the Yaakov's the one that says that
so
it's...
So that's why it's less? Because B'nai Yosef were with him?
That's why it's more. Because Yosef's on Har Grizim. Yosef had a huge population growth with his kids.
Less Shvatim.
They had less Shvatim on the mountain.
But more people.
Right. Okay? Shinemar Baidaber B'nai Yosef es Yoshua Lemar Madu Anasata Linach Lagor Alachad V'chev Lachad V'ani Amrav. Right? They came to Yoshua with a complaint because the Chaluk of Eretz Yisrael was based on the way they left Mitzrayim, their numbers then, but not the numbers at the end of the desert. But the B'nai Yosef had a tremendous population growth in the Midbar. So they're coming, but we see from this less about the Chaluka part of it, more about the fact that they had a huge population growth, and therefore, even though Levi was down there, that they had the B'nai Yosef, and Har Grizim was more. So what did Yoshua respond to them there, by the way? So go to the forest. Go to the forest. What's the forest for? You want more space in Eretz Yisrael? You have a lot of kids, so go to the forest. Go to the forest? What? So the Marsha explains that the push-up shot about going to the forest is, okay, you know, usually cities have like forests around them, so kind of don't use those as forests. Cut down the trees and just live in those
areas.
Okay, great. Oh, but let's see further in the Gemara, and let's bring out what the Gemara here really, really means, or what Yeshua really meant by telling them to go to the forest. Why go to the forest? Amar lechu v'hichavu atzmechem b'yarim. Go hide yourselves in the forest. Shelo tishlot b'chem ayin hara. You had such a population growth. Stop worrying about how much space you have in Eretz Yisrael, and start worrying about the ayahara that you might have about how much people might look at you and be jealous of you. Amrulay, they responded, no, Yoshua, you got it all wrong. Zared Yosef lo shalta be'ein abisha. Ayahara does not affect Yosef's offspring. Diksiv ben porat Yosef, ben porat ale oyen. V'amar Rabbi Avo, alti kori ale oyen, ela ole oyen. We are above the eye, and no eye can affect us. No ayin hara can affect us. Let's discuss that in a moment. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Mehalcha, he brings down the pasuk from here as to how we know that Yosef Zera is beyond ayin hara. Vayidgu larov bekerev haaretz. Like dagim. Ma dagim shebiyam mayim mechasin alehen. Ve'ein ha'ayin sholtos bohen. And the water, fish in the water are generally not seen, and even if they are seen, they're a little bit more opaque. So therefore, they don't have the same type of eye directness.
I heard that they don't have eyelids, they don't close their eyes.
Interesting. Interesting. It doesn't seem to be the pashup shot in the Gemara, but I do hear it. It sounds interesting. Ein ayin sholetes bahen. Maybe their ayin, right? They're in the water. Avzar shel Yosef.
They also kind of see the all directions. One eye on each side.
It's a great point. We're trying to prove, I'm not sure how that's proven what we're trying to prove, because we're trying to prove that an ayin hara doesn't affect them. So if they're able to see farther than everybody else, I don't know how that proves that an ayin hara can affect them, because people can't see them. Yoshua's telling Yosef's kids to go hide, to not be seen by people, to don't flaunt their affluence, don't flaunt their blessings, because if people see them, it could have an effect, as we'll see in a moment. Oh, that's one of the reasons. Good. Av Zara Shel Yosef, Eino Ayin Shel Letes Ben. So to the Zara of Yosef, it does not affect the children of Yosef. So says the Marsha, what it's referring to, go hide in the forest, is that the Ayin Hara shouldn't affect you. It's go hide out. Go to places where you can't be seen by everybody. Don't start asking for a bigger plot of land, all of a sudden everybody's going to know about you, but be more quiet and discreet about your population growth. Just the Chazanish and the Maral start explaining Ayin Hara in a very powerful way, that what we see with our eyes is a translation of what happens in our minds, and our eyes have very tangible, our gaze can have very practical results. There's some sort of translation of energy, says the Maral and the Chazanish, about what Ayin Hara could be, and it's a real thing. The Michtav Me'elyo brings it down to perhaps a little bit more of a relatable, practical level, where he describes that when Hashem gives a person bracha, it should only be bracha. It should only be goodness. But when it causes badness, when it causes other people to be angry and jealous and wish and da-da-da, then all of a sudden the bracha that Hashem is giving is not causing bracha in this world, but it's causing otherwise, and therefore Hashem might just have to remove it.
Another image here that comes to my mind, and that is, go to the forest. What do you have in the forest? You have trees. And how do trees reproduce? With seeds. So if you look at that image of millions of seeds that are falling, it's the same concept.
Right. Good. So go to the forest and see that.
And therefore you'll know why I'm doing this for you.
Doing what for you?
Making more prolific.
Interesting. So Yeshua is telling the Bnei Yosef to take a look about how that happens. Very interesting.
Can we also be referring to the actual being on the heart, like getting the blessing, the mountain of the with blessings on it. Even if you look today, if you look at compare the two mountains, the one that had the blessings on it actually has forests on
really?
It. Everything. The other one doesn't.
Where are they?
Next to Shechem. The Shomronim
really?
Live there.
Really?
There's 800 Shomronim that live there.
You have one mountain that has trees, has forest, everything. One just
unbelievable. Yeah. Tov.
Might be referring to that as well.
Guys, big this week's parsha coming up right here. Now that we begin to discuss,
to just getting the blessing.
Maybe. Now that we discussed which Shvatim were where, Yosef's population growth, and Yosef not being affected by the eye. We're going to bring up, of course, shortly, but Yosef and the eye and him not chasing after his eye fully and how that all took place. But first, Tanei Chamishim Osios, these 50 Osios, if anybody did the real counting, I did the counting on one mountain, which was 25. The next counting on the next mountain was Chamishim Nechi Chara Havion. 24! No, Gemara, you're not going to pull this one on us. You got to actually do the counting. It's actually 24. In which case 25 and 24 is 49, not 50. Amar Yitzchak Yosef Hosif Lo Osachas. Yosef had a letter added onto his name. Shnemar Edus Bo Yosef Shemo Betzei Sol Eretz Mitzrayim. He became Yehosef, as the Gemara is going to explain, when they left Mitzrayim. Maskel Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak Ketoldo Sam Beinan. But it says Ketoldo Sam. So Ketoldo Sam seems to be a name from birth, and this is a name from birth. Yehosef is what was added on, even after his death, perhaps, and therefore it's not from birth. So how is it 50 names on the breastplates? If it's Ketol Dosam like birth, it should be still Yosef. And she's somewhere, Elakol HaTorah Kula Binyamin Ksiv. So really, we don't add on the letter. The Gemara says that's a very good question. We don't add on the letter of Hey in Yosef's name, but rather, in the whole Torah, we refer to Binyamin with one Yud Ksiv. Binyamin Shalem. But when Binyamin was born, he was called Binyamin with two yuds. Kidiksiv Aviv Karalo Binyamin. He was called Binyamin. And therefore, that extra yud, Ketoldosam, that extra Ketoldosam, a lot in Binyamin's name, last week's Parsha, right? Why was he called Binyamin? What that represented? Various opinions. So, for our purposes right here, though, Binyamin with two yods, therefore it adds the letter, adds the count, Ketoldosam, to 50. Interesting question. I love these questions. I love the answers, the questions. It's beautiful.
Also, Bnei Yisrael didn't reach 50th level.
Right.
Yosef, that was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Baseser, not in public, right? He ran away, they were in private, him and Eishes Potifar. He got an extra letter added on to Hashem's name, which, by the way, what do we see from this? Says the Rambam, Kiddush Hashem is also in private. It's not just, I'm in a public place, I'm going to act like this. When we're in private, we act with, we are Mekadosh Shem Shemayim too. Yehuda, Shekidosh Shem Shemayim B'Farhesya, but Yehuda descendant Nachshon ben Aminadav coming up on tomorrow's daf about jumping into the water. He was Mikadosh Shemayim Bifar Hesya Nikra Kulu Al Shemo Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. His whole name was a Kiddush Hashem. Yehuda, his whole name was a Kiddush Hashem. The Mefarshim discussed, wait, Yehuda's name, he was given his name at birth. Yosef was given his name Behosef Shemo afterwards. Interesting. There's a discussion there.
What about
Absolutely. Good question. So why sometimes yes, why sometimes no? Yosef Mahi, what's the pasuk about Yosef? He came to the house, lasos melachto, and if you're really medayik in these words here, this week's parsha, he vayovo habaisa. Literally, habayit, habaisa is referred to a woman of the house, lasos melachto, to do his work. Yeah, so his work, but like what kind of work? Very powerful line here, says Rabbi Yochanan, that Yosef intended to be with Eshes Potiphar. He went to the house that day to do the Avera. Says the Ein Yaakov, are we talking about his Gnai? Are we like, whoa, like we're talking about Yosef? Yosef at Tzadik, we're saying that he went. This is a very, very open Gemara, says the Ein Yaakov. This is actually speaking Yosef Shvach. He was 17 years old. This boy's 17 years old. He was sold by his brothers. He's lonely. He's just in jail. He has no idea what's going on. He hasn't spoken to his father. He's finally getting affection, attention like that from somebody, from a woman. And the fact that he wanted to be with her, the fact that he was going to be with her, is only natural. How could he ever say no? Now that we're describing that he was able to overcome and not succumb to the temptation, let's bring out his shvach. So within, says the Ein Yaakov, within Rabbi Yochanan right here, it's the shvach of Yosef HaTzadik. One says it was really his melacha, which means that he was a bookkeeper, says the Targum there. That he went to have relations with her. Continues the pasuk there, that there was nobody else in the house. Can the house of Potiphar, was there nobody in the house? As we all know, it was a very special holiday on that day. The Medrash says that in the land of Egypt, everybody relied on the Nile overflowing. That when it overflowed, everybody celebrated the fact that the Nile overflowed. It was a holiday. They all went to the house of worship. She said, I'm sick. Amra, what did she think to herself? There's no day like today to be with Yosef. She grabbed on his garment, right? They were right there. But also Shah, what happened? What did Yosef see? Famous Gemara. Yosef HaTzadik saw his father's image in the window. Amar lo, Yosef, and saying to him, Yosef, asidin achecha, sheyichtuvu al avnei ephod, relevance to this Gemara, your brothers will be written on the stones of the ephod forever. V'atobeinam, right now, your status is among them. Do you really want to be erased from among those names? And say, oh, Yosef, I'm sorry, he wasn't here because he just was acted promiscuously with other people like that. Diksiv v'roa zonos yoved hon. Because we have a pasuk in Mishlei, a powerful pasuk. V'roa zonos yoved hon. They lose their fortune. The most valuable assets to them are a person's reputation. A person who's a roa zonos can lose that reputation. Yosef HaTzadik can ruin his reputation forever of being the tzaddik, of being on the ephod, if he does this. Miyad v'teshev be'esan kashto. Says the pasuk, and that his esan, which as we'll see, Amar Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir Sheshava Kashto le'esan. No, a kashto is a bow. It's a euphemism for his aver that it returned to its regular formation.
It's very interesting that he gets so much credit for being such a tzaddik, for withstanding, but yet
he put himself in the place.
No, I'm saying he had this supernatural message that came, like a lot of us, like if we're going to do an avera, but we had this amazing supernatural message, I hope we'll be able to withstand it also, no?
Very true. Very
That's
true.
Why you bring some people point. Say that our door is in a way higher than the previous doors because we don't have all the revelations that everybody, and so we still try our best to do, you know, Hashem's will.
That is an excellent question, and that's an excellent answer. Excellent question and answer.
The fact that we're so low is part of the reason why we
that's
don't receive
that. Pre-tonic says that.
Right, so what? Yeah. Right, so David Coleman says that. Perhaps he was on a level, and perhaps where he was holding, and the fact that Torah was always on his mind, is that it wasn't a supernatural event, but it was from him. So maybe we could say is that who he was is that Hashem didn't have his father appear. He had his father appear to him based on his growth and who he was.
Right, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason why he was able to have that communication was because of what he did with his father-in-law. You know, he was there, and you know, it took him time until he actually went up to Gaza, okay, up the mountain. It took him a long time.
So what did he do? How did he totally subdue himself? By Efozu Zeroe Yadav. Very powerful line. So what does that mean in this week's parsha? Not Yadav Bakarka. He dug his hands into the ground to suppress the intensity of his desire. Yotza Shechva Zermi Bein Tziporne Yadav. Very graphic. The Gemara says that out of his 10 fingers shot Shechva Zera. Miyadei Avir Yaakov, from the power of Yaakov, Mi Garmlo Sheichokik Alav Neifod, who caused him that he will not be erased, that he will be engraved on the Avnei Ephod, El Abir Yaakov. That was the power of Yaakov. Maybe what we're saying here is maybe it was his power from the strength of who his father was, from the fact how much his father affected him as a child, to how great he became, that he had his father's vision. Misham Roa Evan Yisrael, and from there we see that he had the Evan Yisrael, Misham Zochav Nasa Roa, because he became like a shepherd of Klal Yisrael, so to say, which is interesting. We contrast being a Roa Zonos to a Roa Yisrael, based on him withstanding the temptation. Shenemar, how do we know that he was a Roi Yisrael? Roi Yisrael Azina Noegi Kitzon Yosef. We have the pasuk in Tehillim, which describes him as a Roi Yisrael. Tanya, Hari Roi Yosef, let's say some Yud Beis Shvatim. Kederech Sheyotzum Yaakov Aviv. That really Yosef had the ability to have 12 Shvatim just like his father had. Shenemar, Ela Toldos Yaakov Yosef. That Yaakov and Yosef seem to be similar. Ela Sheyotza Shechva Zermi Bein Tziporne Yadav. That, but he didn't have this chus because he had 12 shots of Shechva Zera that flew out of him. And I remember hearing many, 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 many years ago, Kabbalistically or whatever, that each of those fingers, or whatever that means, whether it's metaphorically or not, but each of that Shechva Zera type that kind of flew out, that was supposed to be a Shevet, and because he lost it, he lost the 12 Shvatim that shot out of him from there. And Ellie, maybe that refers to what you're saying, is that he put himself in this situation, so maybe there is an element of punishment, because he was there, he did place himself there, so he did, and he wasn't able to, like, sometimes bodily functions are beyond us, but since that did happen and he placed himself there, then maybe he did lose those shvatim because of that. Very, very, very deep stuff. But nevertheless, Binyamin and his kids had about 12, Binyamin and his brother had about 12 kids. V'kulan nikra al shmo. And Binyamin loved Yosef so much that he called all of his kids after him. Shenemar, uvnei Binyamin, Bela, Becher, Veshbel, V'chulu. Let's discuss Binyamin's kids' names. Bela, Shenivla, Beina, Umos. He called the son Bela, which is referring to Yosef, who was kind of swallowed up among the nations of the world in Egypt. Ubecher Bechor Li'imo Haya. And Becher, because Yosef was his mother's Bechor, and his father treated him like one. The Eshbel Sheshav Ukel. That Hashem put him into Golas. Hashem put him into captivity. Geira Shegorb Achsanyos. That he lived in foreign lands. V'na'amon Shena'im B'yoser. Yosef was very pleasant. Achiva Rosh. Achihu Hiroshihu. He was my brother, he was my chief. Mufim bechupim, hu lo ra'a bechupasi, vani lo ra'isi bechupaso. We weren't at each other's weddings. We can see how much Binyamin was really mourning over the fact that he didn't have the ability to get to know Yosef and that Yosef was gone. Ve'erd sheyar lebein umos ha'olam. That he descended to the umos ha'olam. Ikodamri, ve'er shepanav domin leverid. That Yosef had such a rosy, beautiful complexion. Amar Bichi Bar Abba, Amar Biochan, Bishasha Amar Lo Paro Li Yosef. When Paro said to Yosef, Ubladecha Lo Yorim Ish Es Yodov Echulu, then nobody should raise your hand against you. Amar Itzdagni Ne Paro. Paro's advisors told him, Eved Shedlochu Rabo Vesrim Kesef. A slave who was sold by his masters for 20 Kesef, which is a very little amount, right? They didn't care about him, it shows. And they had a lot of money. So it's not like they sold him to make money, that they needed the money, that they were like, oh, we have to sell our brother, that's such a shame. But they were just trying to get rid of him. Tamshileu Oleu, Paro, you're going to make this slave that was sold for nothing into our master? Amarlan, Paro says, Genune Malchus Nairobo. I see personality in him of Malchus, which is unbelievable. Hashem gave him a sense of chen. With any meeting that we have, anytime we go somewhere, Hashem can give us chen to find favor and chen in people's eyes, no matter what. Amrulos, they said to him, Imkin, Yehei, Yodea B'Shivim Lashon. Protocols in Egypt for royalty was that you have to know 70 languages. So they said to Paro, okay, Paro, I'm glad he found Chen in him, but he's got to know 70 languages. They're like, okay, we got Yosef out of this job. Bar Gavriel, that night, so Paro said, all right, I'll test him tomorrow. That night, Bar Gavriel, the Limdo Shivim Lashon. Gavriel came that night and had a crash course. Ever tried to learn one language in a month? Ever tried to learn 70 languages in a night? Tov. Yosef did. Lo hava kagamar. But he wasn't able to. He just wasn't able to grasp it. It was too much for him. He couldn't absorb it. Hosef lo osachas mishmol shagodesh baruch hu. That's when Hashem added on the name, the letter to his name, the hey. And some say that it was the sarai from the sarah. It was the hey. Kabbalistically there, how he got the name from Sarah, how he, Sarai dropped her hey, that went to Yosef, Yehosef. No, sorry, that went to Yoshua. I apologize, that was saying Yoshua. Where this came from, I'm not sure. But anyways, he received the name from Hashem's name, so to say, Velamad, and he was able to learn. Shneimar, as we say, and tell him, Ages be Hosef Somo, but say Sol Eretz Mitzrayim. That's when he got the hey. Ulamachar, the next day, Kol Lishna, Dishoy Parabade, any language that Parabade, try to speak with him. Ahadarbe, Yosef was able to respond in that language. Unbelievable. Ishtoi iu b'lashon ha-kodesh, but then Yosef spoke to Parah b'lashon ha-kodesh. Lava kayodi, my havi amar. And Parah, no idea what Yosef was speaking. What do we see? Lashon kodesh was not in the 70 languages. Lashon kodesh, not in the 70 languages.
How did Parah speak with Moshe?
Right, so Moshe must have spoken other languages, but what do we see here? Well, Yosef taught it to him. Now, hold on a second. But what do we see now? But when they wrote, and this is what the first one explained, that's why we bring 70 karbanos on Chol Hamoed Sukkot, because it's for all the 70 nations, not the Jewish people. That's one of the proofs. Beautiful. But guys, didn't you just say, at the beginning of today's daf, that they wrote the Torah Be'er Hetev in 70 languages? Not including Lashon HaKodesh? These rocks that had Torah in 70 languages did not include Lashon HaKodesh? Pure translation. I don't know. I didn't see it, but something to think about. Amarle, Agmare. Great. Yosef said, all right, I'll teach you these languages. I'll teach you Lashon HaKodesh. Agmare taught him, below Gamar. Par wasn't able to learn it. Amarle, Ishtabili Delay Megalis. Please swear to me that you won't reveal to the people that I just can't pick up this new language. Ishtabalo, so Yosef swore to Paro. Ki Amarle, then later when Yosef told Paro, Avi Hishpiani Lamor, my father told me that I gotta go bury him up in Eretz Yisrael, Amarle, Zilat Shila Shvuasecha. So Paro says to Yosef, I don't care, go and annul your Shvua. So what does Yosef respond? Yosef's quick, Amarle, V'itchil Nami Adidach. If I'm gonna start annulling my Shvuas, then I have to annul also the Shvua that I made about you, that you were not able to pick up a language. Ha, Paro. So what did Paro say? Afagav d'loy nichale. Amarle, even though Paro wasn't happy, he said, Ale kvar savicha kasher hishpiacha. All right, you swore. I don't want you to annul any of these shvuos. Go and bury your father. And we'll see you back here soon. Guys, awesome day. Fun times. This week's Parsha, unbelievable that we get to have such a glimpse into it. We wish you all a beautiful day. And Bezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow.